The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the NASA SOUP Program Manager, and we're going to talk about what's new with NASA SOUP 5, the newest version of NASA SOUP, the longest running GWAC in the federal government. And GWACs are, as you folks out there know, government-wide acquisition contracts for information technology that are designated so by OMB. And again, NASA SOUP's a great program, and we've got the latest generation of it we're going to be talking about today. So, Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm looking. That was a short response after that big, long introduction, but that's okay. So I guess first, just for the listeners, can we talk a little bit about, you know, the procurement history of the latest generation, NASA SOUP 5, and sort of what your acquisition strategy was and, you know, what the end result was. And then we can start talking about, you know, the sexy stuff, like how is it doing and all that stuff, okay?
Okay. So so SOUP is, as mentioned, a GWAC and, for IT and AV and communications technology and both products and services related to those products. It just started SOUP 5. We've been around since 1992. SOUP 5 began in May, and of course SOUP 4 ended in April, amazingly enough.
And that's pretty good.
Yes, great timing.
Yeah, absolutely.
we went into,
I think others would envy that. I'm serious.
Well, we had good support from our policy folks to make sure that we timed everything right. I would say SOUP 5 in many ways began about halfway through SOUP 4 in the sense of looking at the direction we were going with SOUP. We started off as humble beginnings of trying to help a scientist out and kept growing and growing. And we had to make a decision, do we continue that route or not? And in so doing, we wanted to have more of a view that goes outward than just helping one person at a time. How do we help, in particular, how do we help an agency? How do we help the government as a whole versus as a single purchaser? And that really started the kind of process of looking at, you know, do we have enough companies? And we decided we didn't have enough companies. We did go into SOUP 5 with one of those goals being to increase it, which we'll talk, I'm sure, more about. And then also making sure that we had the full scope, looking at how we were supporting VA, how we were supporting even NASA and some of the things that they wanted to do. Even though we were NASA, we tried to support them. We, for example, didn't have sensors on, and sensors are, of course, a big thing with
sure,
NASA and others.
Sure.
So we added that. And then we added services, and more so than ever before. In looking at where both technology was going and where agencies were going to rely more on services, we still had them on a product, you know, centric sort of view. So it's not the wide open service contracts of an OASIS type of contract.
Right, like professional services kind of thing,
right,
or Alliant kind of thing, right?
Right, right. There is some overlap, of course, but
sure,
but the goal is to still have that product base to it all. So we call it product-based engineering services, and that's probably one of the biggest changes, and we're still dealing with now what exactly that means and how much we're going to push the services or not, and
sure,
looking that
sure
through.
So can you describe a little bit, what was it like to go through, or what is it like to go through the OMB review process to get, you know, because under the law, you have to be designated as a GWAC by OMB, you know, the Clinger-Konak changed.
Right.
Changed all the rules back, you know, it'll be a decade next...
next year.
Next year,
yes.
Exactly. And you've gone through it more than anybody else, I think, in terms of the designation and stuff. So what is that like, just for those folks who don't, you know, who never worked in the government?
So the designation process is really a business case process. You need to have a business case that goes through review. Obviously, first, NASA and a headquarters, you know, we have to convince NASA that this is a worthwhile program to NASA in terms of supporting our mission, and that first and foremost, while we are GWAC, we are a NASA contract. And then once we have that backing, to then go to OMB with a presentation of what is the benefits And back and forth. And it's not a, you know, send in a piece of paper, they sign it and you're done. It's months and months of discussion and honing in on where the benefit is to the government to continue this program. And of course, it helps if you're already in it because we've done it. Basically, we every year we do a report to OMB. So we're always in touch with them. It's not like a, oh, who are you?
Right.
It's never a surprise. We know we work with them closely as with the other GWACs, GSA and NIH. So we all have that experience and knowledge, but we still do go through that process and still wait in on pins and needles to make sure that in fact we dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's.
Right. And when in the reports you do, it's really sort of tracking, you know, the spend and, you know, the what do those annual reports?
Yeah. So it's a budget spend. It's a spend of the government. It's, you know, how are we being used? And how are we helping the government? We always, you know, they always want us to talk about, I mean, sensibly enough, you know, what is our annual benefit? And then there is a budget piece to it. They, you know, we're not just allowed to take money and kind of run with it. And we're happy with that. We actually are very strict about how we spend our money. So it makes it easy for us to reply. But it's an in-depth report of how we're operating and making sure that we're on target.
Right. Do they look at, like, the competition rates and stuff? Do they track that? Does OMB ask you guys about that or anything? Competition at the task order level.
Yes, they do ask about sole sourcing. And of course, we basically say we don't want anybody to sole source.
Right. Sure.
and as much as possible, we try to push folks away from that. And so it's pretty easy to answer that one, even though we do lots of orders. We have a tool set that really makes it easy to do opportunity, competition, and we rarely have anybody even ask us about sole sourcing, and we do. We just say, go do the competition. It's not worth it to sole source.
Right. So how many contractors are there on the NESA soup right now?
So one of the big changes, and as I mentioned, it was kind of a plan to increase the number. We had 37 companies in soup 4, and we had two basic issues that I was concerned with the number. One was enough competition, and the other was enough response rate. When we went into soup 5, we definitely wanted to have a higher number. We ended up with a higher number than we had kind of went into thinking. It was 147, but I would say that it has been way over our expectations and how well it has worked, even with that many companies. So with 147 companies, within the first month, all but about two or three were up and running.
Wow.
We are now 100%. Oh, it gets better.
Okay.
So we're now at 100% are up and running, and 132 have gotten an order in the first 4 months. So over 90% of our contracts have gotten at least one order in the first 4 months. Something I was expecting 130 to maybe be up and running.
Right.
And
right.
Maybe half of that number actually getting orders.
Right.
I mentioned the response rate. So our response rate in soup 4 was 16 to 17% non-response rate to an RFQ. We're down around 7% now. So we more than halved the non-response rate. So the competition is there. The responsiveness is there. Much more than I could have hoped for in the first 4 months of a new program.
So what's the takeaway from that? Don't be afraid to have a bigger contract. I mean, you know, what has made that? I mean, you're off to a great start.
Right. So there was a couple of things that helped. One was we waited a year or had to wait a year to do the contracts. And I took that time with internally in our staff to do something we call a 4.5. We kind of did a dress rehearsal for 5 about 3 months beforehand. Everybody thought I was crazy because I was like changing all the roles five under the old contract. But it got us ready. So by the time we awarded and selected the contracts and started them up, Our internal staff was ready for it. Our internal tools were ready, so we didn't have to worry about that. And then I think we work really closely and have a really dedicated staff in working with our contract holders and helping them out. It's a lot to take on. You know, I think in the end it's worked out. You know, but it has been a very stressful summer.
Sure.
So was it worthwhile?
Transitions always are, right?
Right. Transitioning where you've quadrupled your number in a short period has certainly had a stress point. So would I recommend that for everybody? I think you really have to look at where you are and what your needs of the agencies and customers are. You know, we had just had such a steady growth in use by our customers that it made sense to have that increase.
Sure. And Joanne, we do have to take our first break. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Joanne Wojtek. She is a NASA SOUP program manager. And we'll get to break down on the numbers, small business, large business, also what trends you're seeing so far with regard to orders as we approach the end of the fiscal year. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The mission of government involves critical efforts to improve national defense, economic security, health services, and citizens' lives. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to help government address cyber threats, reform the financial system, modernize infrastructure, and protect our nation. For nearly 100 years, Booz Allen has partnered with clients to deliver results that endure. To see Booz Allen's ideas in action, visit BoozAllen.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the NASA SOUP program manager, and we're talking about the latest generation of NASA SOUP, actually NASA SOUP 5. And Joanne, you gave a great background in the first segment about, it's a lot of the planning that goes into it and, the sort of vision when you were starting out with the acquisition plan for the current contract. And you did, one of the big things is that you've emphasized is that you ended up with a bigger number of contractors, and that was purposeful intent right. on your part to, help increase competition and I think just access as well to varying companies. So can you talk a little bit about the breakdown of small versus large and what you're thinking about around that was when you established the contract?
In terms of the numbers, out of the 147 companies, 120 of them are small businesses, so a huge number of small businesses. What we do with SOUP, when we go out and solicit a new version, we actually don't have one competition, we have multiples. And then we break up a number of them in order to make sure that we have certain small business types represented. And so we did a set aside for hub zones, which was new. In SOUP 4, we only had one hub zone, which did not allow for people to right. do a set aside because yeah. you need more than one. Mm-hmm. So that was one other big change in SOUP 5 is we said, look, people are asking for hub zones. We'll do a hub zone set aside to make sure that we pull them in.
How many did you get?
I believe it's 14, but that's don't quote me on that.
Well, I mean, it's over 10.
It's over 10. Yes,
okay,
yes.
That's really, for a hub yes. zone, that's pretty good.
And then the SDVOSB has always been, SOUP 4, we did a set aside, so we did that again. And then we did the small business set aside. But we also ended up with economically disadvantaged women-owned small businesses. We didn't do a set aside for them, but we have enough of those so that people could do a set aside at the order level. And that's another big change for SOUP 5 over SOUP 4. We now fall under the New Jobs Act from a few years ago that allows agencies to do a set aside
sure.
across
Small Business
groups.
Jobs Act of 2010.
That's exactly
it. Very
good.
Well. Yeah, I know it very
yes.
well.
Yes. Yeah, so that has allowed us to increase and give access to all those small businesses because, for example, we have a full and open competition. And an interesting question we often get is, well, why is there a hub zone in the full and open competition? Well, just because it's full and open doesn't mean a hub zone can't compete
Absolutely.
And get a contract. It just means that they are then in a group with other companies, but now they can still get a set aside and be a part of a set aside.
That's great. And have you, just in terms of the current trends, you mentioned in the first segment that 132 of the companies have gotten orders.
Exactly,
like that.
Yes.
It's like 90%. So what are you, in terms of overall trends, trends that you think are very interesting or whatever trends you got, can you talk about what the trends are you're seeing in the orders?
I don't know if there's a lot of trends yet. I would say interestingly enough, two of our bigger companies just were the last two to get orders of the 132. So it was not like, and I would also say it's interesting to see the number of companies that are not incumbents who are catching on. And what it often comes down to for them is, did those companies ramp up themselves? I was reminded of the commercial where a company gets on the net right for the first time and the first order comes in and they're like, oh, wow. And then the second order, and all of a sudden they're deluged. And that happened to our companies. They told us that. They said, yeah, May 1st came and an RFQ came in and we're all excited. And then another one. And then 100 came in. And then it was like, oh, my gosh. So the question from those companies was, were they ready and willing then to invest And those who have been, I think, are the ones who are getting the most orders. And we can see that, you know, we've heard from some, yeah, they went out and hired a whole bunch of people and they realized they needed to really staff up.
Right.
So that's...
And those companies who have, like, who create probably from, you know, from your, what, I mean, and ask what you think, that create sort of systems how they're going to handle and process, review the RFQs and whether it's firing them out or figuring out their pricing. I mean, you've got to really be disciplined and have an infrastructure in place, I think, to handle them. Is that fair to say?
That is very fair to say. And that's part of why I was so happy and somewhat shocked by how well we quickly got up and running, that 132 of them would be able to get to that point so quickly. Very, very good of them, and very, very happy with that result. I think that the other big thing that happened was we went in. We've talked a lot about industry, but we also went into SoupFi with some thoughts about government and where the government was going, and wanting to really look at how can we help CIOs and agency level folks use our contracts to know more about what's going on, have more control over the contracts. And because of that, and the outreach we were doing near the end of SoupFour and now into SoupFive, we actually had a big increase of customer interest on May 1st.
Oh, excellent.
A lot of people were waiting for SoupFive because they knew that we were going to track things for them. They were going to be able to report back to the agencies what they were doing so they could then decide how to use that information. That was also drove a lot of the, I think, the startup and excitement from both sides. I don't think there's any trend in terms of specific types of technology, just a trend more in terms of more looking at us as a strategic versus a onesie twosie purchasing catalog.
So as when you mentioned tracking things, so that's information that you, NASA, have about what's ordered that you can report, that you report back to the
exactly
to the customer agency.
Yes, exactly. We don't go to the vendor to do that. We now track. We went from not tracking anything in SoupFour to tracking everything in SoupFive for those agencies. It's still their data. It's for them to decide what to do with it. But we provided to them in reports at the highest level. So VA Central Office, as a good example, the VA Central Office really cares about, I'm sure they all do, but they were tracking EP to Energy Star. Mm-hmm. And they were tracking it by looking manually at every order. Now we give them a weekly report that details how they're doing.
Right. Like how many order, I mean, how much of the equipment is.
How much has to be and whether it is or it's not. So they don't have to go looking through orders to try to figure it out. And so that's the type of information we want to be able to help those agencies do. And again, control and have insight into what people are purchasing and where they're purchasing it from.
Right. So then the VA Central Office could theoretically go back to an ordering activity and say, hey, you're not buying Energy Star or EPEAT, or you're not making a conscious decision about those things up front.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's their data. They can then do what they want with it.
Right.
But our goal is to make it easier for them to have it to make those decisions and then work with their customers in whatever way they need to.
Right. So in terms of small business set asides with the new authority, it sounds like that, given that you have 120, you said, small businesses, and there's 132 companies that have gotten orders. It sounds like there's a big focus on utilizing the small businesses under this and the customer.
Absolutely, and I think because we have the ability now to do the set asides across the groups, it simplifies things and gives them. And we have two new options: the environment, the economically disadvantaged women-owned, and the hub zone. Those two new ones, I think, also help.
Now, another question I had is my understanding that the ordering rate for current contract is essentially the same or mirrors the last year of SoupFour. That's not typical of a transitional period for a contract. I mean, that's atypical in a good way for you all. What do you attribute that to? Is it the outreach that you did with customers, or is it just you got more contractors who are marketing?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I'm answering your questions for you.
I have to admit I'm on a seesaw of emotions about this, because part of me wants to. I think we have so much more potential. I'm almost wanting to see us go faster forward. But you're absolutely right. When you look at the reality of things, the fact that we are pretty much even with last year, in a transition year, when transition occurred in May, and it takes, no matter how quick the companies are, it takes a while for RFQs, agencies to get used to those companies, the companies get used to us. Even with, you know, even if they get an order, it's still a process. So I think it's a combination again. I think it's the having companies that were really eager and willing to put the effort in, and having those customers lined up and agencies lined up to say, wow, we can really make use of this and do better with what we're buying by again controlling, understanding, tracking, reporting to ourselves what we're doing. And that has driven more customers to us also.
Sure. Joanne, we have to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Joanne Wojtek. She's a NASA SOUP program manager. And when we come back, we'll talk about some new tools that have been launched with this latest generation of NASA SOUP, tools that are helping customers achieve their goals and order quickly and all that sort of great stuff.
Exactly.
You're listening to Off the Shelf on Fred News Radio, 1500 AM.
Brought to you by CGI, a global leader in IT, business process, and professional services. CGI partners with federal agencies to provide end-to-end solutions for defense, civilian, and intelligence missions in areas such as cybersecurity, cloud, and big data. Experience the commitment at cgi.com/usfederal.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Fred News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the NASA SOUP program manager. And Joanne, you are the NASA SOUP program has launched a couple new tools for customer agencies and just generally to enhance the program. Can you talk about what those tools are and what, you know, what they are, the goals, and how they're performing so far?
So SOUP is a little different from what most people think of when they think of a contract vehicle that they go to purchase from. They come and they want to find an item and say, here's the item, and purchase it. That's what I call a static catalog model. And you can think of certain contracts out there that have the type of model.
Sure. Yes, you can.
SOUP is a dynamic catalog. And what that means is, yeah, there's a catalog of tools, of items out there, but at any given time, a customer can ask for something new and it will get added usually within a day. So what that leads to is a stress between, I want to know if it's on the contract, to, well, it can be, just ask for it. So one of our big new tools just launched about a month ago was the market research tool. And this tool allows for the customer to look into our current catalog and say, okay, which companies are there? And if they don't find a company, they keep a list of those companies that they don't find, look for products by part number or description. If they can't find that product, they keep a list of the products they can't find, a list that they can, and which contracts they're on. And then they can push a button and send a note out to all the companies saying, I didn't find these. Can anybody add it? And get a quick response back. Oh, yeah, sure. You just ask for it, do an RFQ, and we'll add it, or nobody responds, and then they know, well, that's probably not something that we'll get on the contract. So we've been looking for a way to do that kind of combination. Ultimately, it still comes down to doing a request for quote with SOUP, because we are quote-based versus catalog-based.
Sure.
But we wanted to give them that market research capability to say, is it even worth looking at SOUP? Now, the fact that we do add currently 10 to 15 companies a day to our list of companies who have products on the contract, and several thousand products a day to our catalogs speaks to how dynamic it is. And so there are very few things that if a RFQ went out for that we couldn't respond to, but there is that comfort level and documentation of what is available and what can be added. So so that one we're pretty excited by. Our customers have for the most part been very, very happy with it.
Well, that's a big deal because, I mean, for years, and when I, you know, technology refreshment or just new product introduction into the marketplace in the government space has always been a challenge.
Right.
So to the extent you found a way to, you know, solve that riddle, that's or that challenge, I mean, I think that's a value added for the program. Now, and one thing interesting so that you mentioned is the search of, you know, the catalogs and sort of stuff. What does that look like? I know other programs have their, you know, website that has like a GSA Advantage kind of thing. What does yours look like?
So it's not the same because it's not for ordering purposes. It's a market research tool. So we don't get any pricing because pricing comes at the quote level. When we have a catalog currently almost 4 million line items. But any given line item can have a number of reasons why our pricing is what it is. And so we don't want to rely on that. That's not our basis. So, and we'll hopefully talk about the catalog tool in a minute that we do have, but But the idea is,
of course, it will, Joanne, of course.
But the idea is to give the customer knowledge as to which companies already have provided that product. Knowing that can help them maybe make a decision on which set of sites they want to go to. So if a hub zone has already done a networking product they're looking for, well, then they know that they can go to hub zones and they can get responses back. It will hopefully shorten the time that they would have to worry about getting that response. And it comes out in a way that they can print it off. We're very focused on all of our tools on the documentation piece of the government. Government likes documentation. File is the god of procurement. So, you know, we got to have something in the file. So we make sure
tab one, tab two, chapter. I remember
exactly.
That.
So that's part of our goal, is to give our customer a file of, this is the information I've looked for. Here's what I found. Here's what I didn't find. Here it is. It's in my file, and that's just another piece of it.
Okay. Now tell me about that catalog tool. Okay.
So actually, starting before the more generic catalog piece, we are part of the Strategic Sourcing Initiative. In fact, we're the lead agency and working with NIH and GSA to do strategic sourcing for laptops and desktops under the aegis of OMB. And we use that, and it is available now. It's on our website. It's a catalog. Now, so I've talked about, we don't have this traditional searchable catalog, but for specific items where we've gone out, or an agency has gone out and done an RFQ, done fair opportunity, given companies an opportunity to bid and set a catalog price and specific items, we then can build a catalog that people can go to and purchase off of. So there is a purchasable catalog, but it's set up through an RFQ process. So that's what we did with the strategic sourcing. We went out with the five categories, got the pricing, and now people can go onto our website, get a laptop or desktop by just pressing a button, picking one of the ones that are in that strategic sourcing, based on all the technical specs we gathered from the government. And that will be refreshed every 6 months. But we have other agencies now looking to do that at the agency level for other items they want to put on a, they don't want to have to go out. First, they want to control it. These are the items I want people to buy.
Sure.
And they want to get good pricing. So they want to go out, get that RFQ, do that competition, and then have a set price that people can go to and buy off of.
So in the competition, and the pricing's based on estimated quantities that are to potentially be purchased under and obviously the configurations of the, you know, right, the product and all that stuff. Is that the case?
Yes, that certainly is the case with the ones we've talked to so far. We only have one right now, but we have two in the works. One of them is a NASA one and another is a DoD one. And so we hope to have several and many different catalogs built by the agencies. Now, not built in the sense of they provide the information, we actually build the interface and provide the catalog to folks. And it becomes much like going to a Best Buy website. You look at the products, you can compare. If you have, you know, four laptops from four different companies under the laptop, you know, designation, you can do a comparison of them. And then I want that one. I can add some options maybe, and quantity change, and then buy it. Either by purchase order through your system, your agency system, or credit card.
Right. And it's ordering off your contract vehicle.
It's off of, right.
Right. Okay. As the lead for the strategic sourcing, right, and setting the configurations for the laptops and that sort of thing. So that cuts across, like, would NIH have the same, and NASA's,
right.
And GSA have the same sort of configurations where they're supposed to try to do the same thing you're doing, how does that work?
Yeah, so the idea for the government-wide strategic sourcing, the laptops and desktops piece, was it was actually OMB-led in terms of going out and getting specifications from all the agencies. NIH, GSA, and SUP then got together and worked with those, worked with the industry, made sure that they made sense, and we all went out with the same five technical specs. Now, we all have slightly different contracts, slightly different ways of doing things, and in the world of capitalism, this is a good thing. It gives people chances to try different options. So we have our way of doing things, NIH has theirs, and GSA has theirs. So we have the same basis, the same standard items. I suspect pretty much the same, even the same computers, I'm sure, because there's only a few computer manufacturers and a few few responses you can get. But it gives an option for the customers to look at differences that also exist within that framework. So it's brand new. I wouldn't say it's a roaring success, because, you know, we really, I could say this is a pilot for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
but we hope to learn from it and the next 6 months become even better. And as I said, and then we're using that as a springboard to do other types of beneficial things for agencies where they had their own needs beyond what the OMB piece is.
Sure. So another area where I know you've made a huge investment with this generation is training and training on your contract vehicle in general. Can you talk about that?
Right. So as we went forward in Soup 4, not only were we overwhelmed by industry having to respond to so many customers, we were also having just trying to provide the outreach we wanted to provide. We realized we had to do a little bit more. So we went to the webinar way of doing things. So about every 2 weeks, we do a webinar now, either a generic one, and it's actually open to anybody. It's not just government. And then sometimes we'll do like the tool set or a specific one. We wrote our first document on training documents, so that was nice to have. We have several videos out, and then we are working with or having a company sponsoring a Soup forum.
Okay, and let's stop right there, and we can talk about that when we come back from the break. But I'm sorry, we're right up hard on the break. My guest today is Joanne Wojtek. She's NASA Soup Program Manager. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
These days, it seems everyone's talking about the new normal. But federal agencies have a chance to define it. How will you shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. We understand what makes America work and how it can work better. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we can help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, or even change the game. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. She is a NASA Soup Program Manager. And Joanne, when we took the break, we were talking about training and the investments and what you've been doing. So we'll pick up there, and I think you were about to talk about a forum that you're going to be participating in.
Yes, there's going to be a Soup forum in Baltimore the week of December 7th, in particular December 8th and 9th. We're targeting for our customers to come to. It will be free for government attendees, except of course for travel costs. But we're trying to make it as accessible as possible. The chance to train in depth on GWAC issues and government-wide contracts, supply chain, strategic sourcing, catalogs, how they work. When we do a two-hour training, there's often points where I'll say, yep, and this could be a one-hour discussion. Come to the forum,
right,
and we can really go into depth. We also anticipate for the first time to have industry involved beyond our contract holders. We want to find ways to, so any industry folks listening out there, please let us know, send us a note. We want to have you all participate, not just to meet our customers, but to help us understand how we can better work with industry. So we're looking forward for a very robust discussion across the board with industry and government during that time. So December 8th and 9th, we are finishing up the website now. Check soup.nasa.gov. And in the next few weeks, we should have links to that information.
And links to where you can register. And that's
exactly.
Excellent. So I know another, first I just had a question. The webinars that you've been doing, how have they been going? Are they the customers and contractors, enjoying them, getting a lot out of them? How's that? What's the response been?
The webinars have been fantastic in terms of responsiveness. We get a lot of folks attending. It's really made it easy to get more information out. And, we have 20,000 or plus customers now, and across the country, there's no way we can meet with each one separately.
Sure.
So this really helped us. And we do more webinars with our industry partners too now. We do almost at least once every few weeks, we're doing a webinar with them, trying to make sure that we don't just rely on emails for information. We can't meet with 147 of them every day, but we can do these webinars. And the first few webinars we did on both ends were hundreds of people showing up, which was really nice to see.
Yeah, I mean it's an effective tool. Are those open to anybody, or is it? Just curious.
So the training webinars are open to anybody. We don't. Okay. Anytime we do something public, we are public about it. So we also occasionally do. We have been doing citywide events. We've done one in San Diego. We've done one in Tampa. Those are also open to the public. We often do them in D.C. They're posted on our website when they occur. So anything that's
of public nature. Join, give the folks that website where they can.
So www.sewp.nasa.gov.
Great. Another area, I guess, that I wanted to talk real quickly about, and I guess it's a segue to, it's a sort of a training issue, is I know it, we're in the, you know, it's not it that busy season, I will call it. Some would call it other, the silly season. I know it's the end of the fiscal year.
Very busy.
Very, very busy. And I know you all deal with a lot of, competitive orders at the end of the year. Right. Folks are trying to meet their needs. Can you talk a little bit about the guidance that you give, your customers and contractors around the end of the fiscal year?
So at the end of fiscal, one of the first things we do is we increase our hours tremendously, and we already open Saturdays and busy on Saturdays.
I saw that on your website.
Yes. And at the end of the, I think at the last weekend, we'll be open even on Sunday. On September 30th, we will be there till midnight. Actually, we're usually there to about 12:20. I always say we won't leave until the last, until we enter the last order that came in before midnight. We don't have to, theoretically. As long as it's signed by the contracting officer. But we want to make sure that, if we get something, everything is handled. So every order that comes in is handled. We start changing some of our rule sets to allow for shorter RFQ time periods. People are anxious about that because we usually say 3 days. But if they're all set and they know what they're doing, give them their option to work with it. Just in general, we up our support. We don't do a lot of trainings, for example, like webinars and such, because we're all in the office now and trying to make sure that we can get to our customers and our contract holders and help them out and be aware of the need for speed and anxiety that comes with September and the close of the fiscal year. And it is our, 40% or so of our business is during that time period.
The last quarter.
The last month or two.
Yes. The last quarter. So it'll be interesting to see, and definitely we'll talk to you about it, if you see a change, even a quicker tempo because you have more contractors, whether that's going to be something it's going to be a learning experience potentially for this end of year.
Yes.
Well, right?
Yes. And I've scared my staff by saying September 30th could be a major, deluge of orders because we don't necessarily know what's going to come until that day. And it might be next fiscal year, but I think at some point we will see September 30th being even more hectic than normal for us.
Right. And part of that is not just it's the end of the fiscal year, but also people are trying to meet their small business goals, right? So you probably see more set-asides and that sort of traffic. It'll be interesting to talk to you, next fiscal year about what happened at the end of this fiscal year. I'll definitely put that on my tickler list to make sure I do that. I know another area where you're very active is supply chain risk, particularly what you've done with Soup, and you're also doing stuff government-wide. Can you talk a little about that? We got about 3 minutes left.
So in 3 minutes and an hour long discussion, supply chain risk management.
I have confidence that you can get right to the point, Joanne.
So supply chain risk management is very, very important for Soup, obviously, because we're part of that role. But even more than just from the contract level, I'm actually a member of the International Standards Committee Open Group and the Open Trust Technology Forum. And the big exciting news for us is that just a week ago, ISO published our standard as an ISO standard for supply chain risk management.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a big deal. DOD was the spearhead of it. So DOD and NASA were the two government folks and industry. All the main players in industry have been a piece of it. And so we're very excited by that. It puts a legitimacy to the work they've done. The goal is to reduce chances of tainting and counterfeiting, by looking at the policies and processes that industry uses in that area. So that's very important. And then from the Soup point of view, we both want to make sure we're ballyhooing that piece, but we also have the ability for every item on a contract, when a quote comes in, we notify the customer in what we call a verification file. Is that item from an authorized reseller, from an authorized distributor, from an unknown source? So the customer can make a risk decision. Is this important to me? Should I only buy from authorized or whichever level they feel is right for their situation and the type of items they're buying?
Right, and that's sort of that guidance like mirrors the contract language that you have, that the folks have to identify themselves as appropriate.
And not just identify, but it's a key piece for Soup. We verify. And we don't just verify with a letter. We verify directly back with the manufacturer. A lot of people rely on letters.
Yeah, right. Is this guy really who they
yes.
say they are?
And we have gotten quite a few back saying, who is this? Right. And that shows us that we are getting the right information back from the manufacturer. So when we say somebody's an authorized reseller, we mean they are known by that manufacturer and they have agreed that they can sell their products and not... Well, they might know them, or they might know somebody down the street who knows somebody.
Right. So, Joanne, just remind the audience about the time and place of your forum in December.
The forum will be December 8th and 9th and in Baltimore, Maryland. It's a Marriott, and I forget the exact name of the Marriott, but the Marriott at the Inner Harbor. We'll have all the information.
I think folks can find out, yes. right? Absolutely. I want to thank my guest today, Joanne Wojtek. She is a NASA Soup Program Manager. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf. Only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.